Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. So far, we've visited three of the four small towns in Harrelson County, Georgia, so it's time to visit the final one and visit one last time with our friends and season sponsors at the Greater Harrelson County Chamber of Commerce. Today, we visit a small town in Harrelson County that is known for dropping something a little different to bring in the new year, and we talked to a city manager who didn't know what he would do living far off, so he chose to make an entire career of managing his hometown to be the best place it could be. We're going to go talk with City Manager Philip Edson in the small town of Tallapoosa, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. But life is a journey, and I ended up in Ocilla, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Ocilla made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Ocilla, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. When looking around for your next small town adventure, you should consider Harrelson County, Georgia. With four small towns, each with their own unique character, Harrelson County has all the charm and warmth of a rural community. Located just 1 hour from the heart of Atlanta, Harrelson County also offers access to the amenities of the big city. In Harrelson County, Georgia, you can enjoy taking a brisk walk among historic homes, eating lunch at one-of-a-kind restaurants, shopping for unique products lovingly curated by one of many local entrepreneurs. And the recreational opportunities are endless, including leisurely floats down the Tallapoosa River and attending some of the many outdoor festivals. Make plans to visit Harrelson County, Georgia today, and you just may decide to stay. For more information, visit harrelson.org. That's HARALSON.org. Harrelson County. You're a one-hour drive to a nonstop flight to anywhere in the world. But once you're here, you might not want to go anywhere else. All right. I was a little late getting here, or at least I wasn't early, because the train where I was trying to make the left turn to come to City Hall was it was slowing down. I was actually nervous. It was actually going to stop right there on the tracks. But luckily, I got through. I'm at City Hall in the city of Tallapoosa, Georgia. I'm sitting with the man that makes sure the city of Tallapoosa runs smoothly, keeps all the trains on time, so to speak. And that's the city manager of Tallapoosa, Georgia, Mr. Philip Edson. So, Mr. Edson, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you. Welcome to Tallapoosa, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. I should have said we're sitting in the council chambers, but we're not sitting in any of the mayor's seat or the council member's seat or anything, so no one should be upset.
We stay out of those, get in a hot seat.
You probably go kick back in there and at the end of the day and just kick your feet up on the mayor's desk all the time. Just don't tell them about it, right?
Go in there and take a nap. Yeah, kick back, relax, drink a Coke, eat some peanuts.
Well, I have interviewed a city administrator on the podcast before, but you're the first one with the actual title, city manager. So this is going to get some good perspectives on the actual city management instead of us elected officials that think we know how to run things, but actually don't really have a clue. But before we get to all of that, I actually want to just talk about you like I always do. And I'll start with my same first question that I always start out with my guests. Were you born in Tallapoosa, Georgia?
I was actually born in Villa Rica in 1949, and we lived in Tallapoosa, my family did, and we didn't have a hospital in Tallapoosa at that time, so things have had a hospital stay. We had to go either to Bremen or Villa Rica, and I think the doctor that my mom used didn't have hospital privileges in Bremen, so we had to go to Villa Rica, and I was born in Villa Rica in 1949.
But the family was already living here. You just had to, just no hospital.
family was living here, yes. Just didn't have a hospital. I had a doctor here.
Right.
But we didn't have
But he didn't deliver babies
He
here.
Didn't deliver, but well, I guess he could if you did them at home.
Yep, yep.
But we didn't have a hospital to do that in here.
Okay. Well, since you were born and raised here, and here we are, tell us what life was like growing up in Tallapoosa.
Oh, it was fun. Been a child. As a kid running around during the summer, usually got up in the mornings, had a few chores I did, and then I was off to play ball somewhere with the rest of the kids and my friends in the neighborhood. So spent most of my time doing that type of thing. And later years, I worked during the summer doing odd jobs and things.
So did you, let's see, and I've heard a couple of the high schools, I'm getting to know the area now that we're doing all the small towns of Harrelson County. So you didn't go to Bremen because they had their own city school, right?
Right.
Okay, so you which high school, was there a high school here in Tallapoosa?
Well, Tallapoosa had their own high school, okay. Which is Tallapoosa school system.
So they had his own city school system.
Yeah, had their own city. And there was also a county school system, and they had West Harrelson and Buncombe and Buckhannon.
Okay.
But Tallapoosa and Bremen had their own separate school system up until Tallapoosa, I think, consolidated about 1968 or 69.
Okay.
And I graduated from Tallapoosa in 1967.
Just in time.
Just
before consolidation.
Just before consolidation.
And what did you do after graduating high school?
After graduation, I attended Jacksonville State University, and I graduated with a business degree.
Okay. And what after that? What'd you do with that business degree?
Well, I went to work with my uncles who was in the construction business. I worked for them for a couple of years. And then the job came open for city clerk. And I applied for that job and got it. Then later on, the job was changed from city clerk. We actually had two positions. I had a position created. We did the clerk, but we also added the title of city manager.
Okay. So it was two in kind of.
Yeah.
So that construction business you worked in with your uncles, was it here in Harrelson County?
Well, we worked throughout the southeastern here. We worked in Georgia and Alabama and some in Tennessee.
But was it based?
The office was here, yes.
Okay. All right. So you went to college across the state line. And then came back home as soon as you graduated.
Yes.
When you were in college or maybe when you graduated high school? Was there ever the thought, all right, I am out of here. I'm going somewhere else and I am not coming back? Or did you always know you'd be back home?
I think it's right in reverse. I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. didn't realize I'd graduated from high school yet because it's kind of, you just didn't know. You know, you graduated and you didn't know what life, the road was ahead of you. You didn't know what you were going to do or what it might hold. So a little scary.
Yeah.
A little confused, and I decided to go to school and still didn't know what I was going to do when I finished school. But
how far away is Jack State from here? It's not too,
it's about 40 miles across.
Yeah, so it's not too far. What made you choose that one? Wanted to stay kind of close to home, but at least go somewhere?
Yeah, I had some relatives over in Piedmont, and so I was able to stay with them some and commute back and forth some and stayed on campus some.
So, okay.
I did a combination of all of it. So
you dipped a toe in the water of outside,
yeah,
and then you came back.
Never came back, yeah.
Now, did you just not like the construction jobs? You were doing that with some family and going all over the place and said, I'd rather work at City Hall?
I don't know. I guess it sounded exciting. I talked to the mayor and I talked to a couple of councilmen and talked about the works and what it involved and it sounded exciting and kind of had a little better future ahead than the construction business. You never knew from one year to the next what the economy is going to be doing, so they decided to change. And
well, obviously that worked out. You're still here and still have the... Obviously they changed the title, but pretty much that was just a title change. You were already starting out in some of the management types of things, it sounds like.
Yeah, the city clerk position back that time did a little bit of everything, and then they separated some of those duties and gave those to the clerk, and then... The manager took those others and did the day-to-day, looked after the public works and police and the fire and the other departments and recreation and kind of involved in those day-to-day operations.
Well, I was just going to ask you to describe, since, like I say, usually I'm talking to a mayor or a council member, and now I've finally gotten to talk. Every once in a while I get to talk to someone who's actually the appointed official that runs either a department or, in this case, runs over all the departments. So describe for somebody that just hears the word city manager but may not quite have the right perception of things what your overall job is.
Well,
when you say the day-to-day operations.
Our situation is that we have a mayor and five councilmen, and they pretty much set the policy and procedures, and then the city manager through the department heads carry out those procedures and policies, day-to-day operation and the operation of the city, the ordinances, building codes and what have you. So it's street repairs, water line installation, gas, building repairs, whatever need might be, then the public works and the city staff pretty much takes care of those needs, whatever it might be, whether it's a new water line or a repair or pothole. Or the girls get a lot of calls about wanting to know what a telephone number is for Chick-fil-A or something.
Switchboard operator, yeah.
Yeah, we get sometimes the girls want to know if we work for AT&T. I mean, we're having to hook up phone numbers. But we do it all. We do it all at City and try to meet the needs of the public.
What year did you say you came on with the city?
73, May of 73.
So you've been here a few years.
Been here a day.
I'd be interested to know your perspective, obviously, with Tallapoosa specifically, but I'm sure you've been connected and kind of seeing city management change in all cities with some exposure, probably specifically this region, probably the whole state. Heck, you're close enough. Probably you look at some examples of things in Alabama. But how have you seen things change over the years as far as city operations, how things happen, maybe how they used to work that you liked, maybe how things are better now that you like better?
I don't know that things are any better or any worse than they were 40 years ago.
It's kind of different.
They've certainly different, and people's attitudes are different, and their wants and needs are different. I think you just have to approach it different. You have to be open and willing to give and take and try not to be controlling and always want it your way, because there's always a different perspective to look at it. So, but they do change, and the people change, and they want change, but sometimes they're not sure what change they want. So it's a different story every day. You kind of plan out a day what you think you might work on the next day, and you get to City Hall the next morning, and something happens and that completely changes. So you got to be flexible and be willing to change, because it's not going to be exactly that way every day. And the council has to work with you and realize that you've only got so much you can do, and everything's not going to get done that they want done on a daily basis.
I'm not going to ask you to tell any stories or definitely say any names. I wouldn't want to get you in trouble, but I imagine over that number of years, you've dealt with a lot of new mayors and council members. And on day one, I bet most of them are reasonable and ask questions and try to figure things out. But I bet you could tell some stories, I'm trying to get you to on the recording, of people who came in on day one and they already knew more than you somehow.
Well, most of the time they don't have the total story.
Right.
And exactly. they don't have all the information, and you just have to sit down and listen and say, well, that's not exactly the way that happened, and tell them about it. So it's been fun. It's different every day.
I've talked to enough people to know that because even on this podcast, I ask people who get into it, what made you want to do this? And when it's elected officials, what is it that encouraged you or convinced you to run in the first place? And sometimes it was just general service. I got pushed to do it. Hey, it's your turn. You know, in small town, everybody just kind of, you wrote to, hey, it's your turn. You ought to run. And everyone I've had people tell me they got their names put in on qualifying, didn't even know it. And they found out they're on the ballot. But then there's other people that they've got a single issue. They want something done, changed. And sometimes there's some complications, or it's more difficult, or there's more to it than as simple as, oh, I want this to change to this.
We had a mayor, and that is true. A lot of people run with the axe to grind, as we might say. It's what water rates too high, they're in business, and maybe the water rates go up and the sewer rates go up, and they run a laundromat or dry cleaners, and the rates go up, and of course that cuts into their profit, and they get mad about it, and then try to run. They're going to lower the rates, you know. They're going to change those rates. And we had a mayor one time, a guy that ran one time for mayor, and he got elected. And it was in March, and he didn't go into office until April. So the first Monday after the election, he came over and was going to shut City Hall down and get all the money and everything and count it, make sure the money was here and all the checks were there, and going to interview all the employees. And city attorney had to come over and say, hey, you can't do that. That's not the way it works.
You're not the mayor yet.
You're not the mayor yet, and you can't do that. And then after he was in about 6 months, he said, well, it's a different picture looking from the inside out than from the outside in. And he came along to be one of our better mayors. He saw the picture quick that we got expenses, we got issues, we got bond payments, we got employees we have to pay, lines we have to fix. So realize that it takes money to do all those things. So yeah, he learned real quick about from the grudge to the facts of the situation.
That sounds like a good story where there was some realization and some acceptance and a little bit of change of heart about it. So yeah, I'm sure not all the stories are like that. Because
not all of them. There's probably 2-to-1, maybe 3-to-1 stories of those that run on grudges that they never see the real picture. They're up here for one reason. That's to address their cause or their issues, whatever it might be. And they never see it.
And don't understand sometimes it's a legal issue is why things can't be changed the way it is. There's a lot of restraints from the state on what cities can and can't do.
Most of the people you deal with dislike you or don't agree with you because you've told them no. You can tell somebody yes today, but 6 months now, you might have to tell them no, they can't do that. Then they're disappointed in you or they're mad because they didn't get their way.
Right, right. And they don't understand. Well, it should be this way.
Yeah.
And you could even agree with them, but it's not that way.
But it's not that way. And either the ordinance or some reason you can't be that way, you have to take in consideration the neighbor or the other person or something. Right. That you got to treat everybody the same.
You got to balance it out.
Do
you have a particular, again, I don't want to get you in trouble by naming names, you shouldn't, but particular memorable experience over the years, something particularly funny or even particularly inspiring that just, you know, happened while during your time as city manager?
I don't recall right offhand of any particular moment, but I think they've all been fun. They've been challenging. I've enjoyed what I did, working for the people and with the people. And I think that's where you get your joy, is seeing the good come. If you can help somebody or you can help the town to grow in a positive way. And I think those are things that make you feel like you've accomplished something.
I want to talk more about your service, but also the small town of Tallapoosa. But I've got 4 get-to-know-you questions I want to ask you just for fun to help people get to know you. So, first question, do you now or have you ever had a nickname?
Yes.
Oh, good. He said that fast. Sometimes they say no, and I try to pull it out, but this one's easy. Good. What was the nickname? Maybe there's more. You got 17 or something.
Well, in high school, most of my classmates call me Flip and Flip.
Yeah, where'd that come from?
I guess from Philip.
Okay. They say real fast.
Yeah, Flip. So I think the nickname came from there. And then my mother...
Thought maybe there was a story where you flipped down the hall or something like that.
Just the nickname Flip. And then my mother, she would tell some of my relatives that Boss Hog, she would call me Boss Hog and tell my cousins that, well, we'll have to go see Boss Hog about that and see if we can get him to do something or something, you know. But
you're considered the man that wields all the power in Tallapoosa.
Yeah,
huh?
she would call me Boss Hog, and she was a sight. But most of the guys in public works, they'll call me Boss.
But they leave off the hog.
They leave off the hog. They call me the Boss, but not our Chief. They called me. Some of the firemen would call me Chief, but it was all fun. Good stories.
So no bad nicknames for you. At least none.
Well, I'm sure
none that you know about.
Some of those were probably couldn't announce on the radio. So I'm sure some of the people had some choice words to say. Probably needed soap after they used those.
All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song? So it's karaoke night. You're going up next. You get to cue up whatever song you want.
Oh Lord, gosh.
You want to put a pin in that one? I got another question later.
Yeah, let's come back to that one.
We'll come back to that one. All right. This one is easier. Should be, anyway. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Probably a steak and baked potato.
Pretty good. How do you like it cooked?
Medium well.
Which cut?
T-bone.
Okay. I would do that when it's steak.
Yeah.
And okay, here's the question that'll help us back with the karaoke song. If you could attend the concert of any singer, duo, band, any performer of any kind, whether they are now dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
The Four Tops probably be the ones I'd like to go see.
All right, Four Tops. So now let's go back to the karaoke song. And now we know who you'd want to see in concert.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of them, so they're all good. The 70s music and the late 60s. So one of my favorite songs is Paint It Black by Rolling Stones.
All right. We'll do that one. Thanks for letting us get to know you.
On our past episodes in Harrelson County, Georgia, we were able to meet and speak with Tara Chapman, Elizabeth Langley, and Eric McDonald about the business communities throughout Harrelson County, how things are going, and what the future may look like. As we close out this series on their small towns, I asked each of them what they hope you, the listening audience, would come away with after hearing about their great small towns. So here's Tara, Elizabeth, and Eric.
I guess my main hope was that people would not discount the small towns. You've heard with your interviews that these are hard workers, these are people invested in their community, and you know, it means a lot to those businesses, to those locals, to have people just stop in, say hello. I feel like a lot of times with entertainment, with TV shows and those sorts of things, that small towns kind of get a little bit of a bad rap. We're made out to be, you know, these hicks walking around in overalls with their fishing pole going to the, you know, to the lake. And what you really see are a bunch of hard workers who really are just putting everything they have into their community to make it better, but they appreciate the small town living, and there's nothing wrong with those of us that appreciate the small town living, but it still has a lot to offer even to the people just passing through.
So I grew up in a larger city, and so I moved here probably about 16 years ago, and I love the small town feel, that hominess. So when you walk into a grocery store and you can recognize people as you're going through the produce section and you say hello. Some of those things that we may take for granted because we live here and we walk in and we know everybody. But that's one of my favorite things about living in Harrelson County is you know the people in your community. They're not just strangers walking down the street. You can relate with people. I mean, we meet people every day with the jobs that we have at the chamber. So I constantly see people that I know, but it's just that hometown feel of community, a sense of community. But I also love the kindness of our community. That's something that sticks out to me because when you're in a more fast-paced environment like what I came from and you come out here, it's a little slower paced, but people take the time to say, hey, how you doing? Like, those are the things that stand out about our community. And there's a lot of other great things, but like, those are the things that stick out to me the most is your hometown feel and just the kindness that you feel in our community.
Well, certainly we'd hope that folks get a chance to get to know our smaller communities, maybe stop by, visit, have lunch, or maybe even move here. But, you know, if they don't want to do that, the key to one of the reasons we wanted to support this podcast was we love small towns. We are small towns. So we hope that folks, as they learn about our small towns and then others on this podcast, that they'll make sure when they're thinking about where they're going to go next, that they'll think small.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority. If you are seeking a vibrant community with great entertainment, recreational opportunities, a low cost of living, and a strong local economy, then you should check out the City of Douglas and Coffee County, Georgia. Visit coffeegachamber.com to find out why the Douglas Coffee County community is a great place to visit and an even better place to call home. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital production and marketing for small businesses that help small towns survive and thrive. In today's global and very digital world, your digital presence is just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media management, email lists and newsletters, digital content creation, including audio and video production,
and making sure that all of these things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and county lines, so you can focus on keeping your small town community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Irwinomics can help guide you in growing your business, go to Irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive.
All right, I want to talk more about Tallapoosa. And obviously, you think it's great because you never left. You've been managing. Obviously, it's a well-run, well-managed city because you've been in charge since 73. So just talk about like what the community's like and maybe tell us about some of the activities and things that people might be able to participate in if they wanted to come pay a visit.
Starting with the 4th of July, we have a big celebration and a parade for that event. And then we have the Halloween, and people come from everywhere, Alabama, Bremen, Bowden, surrounding areas, Buck Cannon. And the residents get so involved providing candy. And we have one lady that cooks the cookies, homemade cookies that she does. And people just enjoy it, and it's safe. And I think that's one of the biggest things that people know it's safe, and they know their kids will be treated well and no problems. And they just park their cars and they just walk the streets, and there'll be people who have wagons hooked up to four-wheelers and have hay on it, and they'll just ride the streets and go from one street to the other trick-or-treating. And the police participates. They give out candy on one intersection. So I think Halloween.
How long ago did that get started? Because that seems unique. That obviously there's plenty of towns that have a good Halloween celebration for their own kids, or maybe people come out from parts in the unincorporated county will come into town. That's pretty common. But you said people are coming from Alabama, which I know is just the next county coming from the other communities and coming.
They're
here.
Coming from the other towns, and it's been going on for probably 50 or 60 years at least.
Was there any kind of, I don't know, was there like a festival or something that got that started and was drawing people in? That just seems interesting that people are coming from five counties around.
they just always had a big Halloween celebration. We used to, I think what probably got it started years ago, they had a carnival at the gym. It just sprung from that. Then the carnival shut down.
But people kept coming,
and they kept doing.
They didn't get the memo that the carnival wasn't here. They came, and everybody continued to pass out more candy, and so they kept coming.
They still come, and I don't recall maybe one or two instances where somebody was injured from falling off a trailer or maybe got a foot run over, but nothing serious. Nobody never ate anything that made them sick or any intention to do anything. And it's big. It's really big.
Does there happen to be like a big candy salesman that comes through town before everyone getting ready for it?
Somebody must own a lot of stock in some of the
Hershey's
or somebody.
M&M's or whatever.
It's big. It's a big event.
That's funny. Well, that's good. You're saying so 4th of July, and I think I've heard there's a parade just about every other month.
There's a parade for everything. We have, like I said, the 4th of July, and then we have the possum drop.
Now, talk about the possum drop, because I was specifically told to ask about the possum drop.
Possum drop.
And actually, as we get started, just to go ahead and front run this issue, you not drop an actual possum.
Well,
thank you.
Good stuff. We used to tell that, we drop two or three, and then when they hit the ground, they run off. There's $50 hooked to them. If you catch the possum, you get the money or something. But then PETA came down a couple of times, and that's the animal folks, and checked us to make sure we didn't drop
a. You weren't actually dropping an actual possum. That's why I gave that at the beginning as we started talking about this. People are going to start calling, or your phone's going to ring off the hook.
The story is that Tallapoosa was called back in the early days, the 1860s, and possum snapped an old Indian, and they said he had a a nose on him like an old possum, so they call him Possum Snout. So they named the community Possum Snout. So
before it was Tallapoosa, it was called Possum Snout.
Yeah, Possum Snout back in the days. And then it was incorporated in 1860 and become Tallapoosa then. So we were looking for some way to kind of reach back and have a promotion to do it. So everybody does the peach drop. And
right. We're dropping things right and left.
Apple drop and this sort of thing. So we said, well, we'll have a possum drop, you know, and have some fun and have lots of entertainment. They have a band that comes in to play. And
that is on New Year's.
It is
on New Year's. We hadn't said that specifically, but that's when all the drops happen. The ball drop, the peach drop.
It is on New Year's. They start about 5 o'clock with different events. They have some activities for the young children. Had a little carnival with a Ferris wheel and some rides. So we have that and have a little fireworks for them. And then at 12 o'clock, we have the possum drop with fireworks. And usually have a band and try to get somebody who's not like the Rolling Stones, but somebody that plays their music.
Do you ask them to pay Paint It Black on the...
Yeah. And we do those. Pretty good event. Weather's good. Been kind of off the last couple of years because of COVID, but it'll be upper 5,000 to 6,000 people here with the weather, good weather, and everything's good. It'll be a good turnout.
And I should have asked this before. What's the population of Tallapoosa?
It's about 3,200.
Okay. So you about double in population
for
the possum
drop. Population. And the hotels over in Bremen are full. And we reserve some rooms for the band and some others. And we have some van drivers that pick people up and shuttle them back and forth. So pretty good event that's going on. So it's a lot of fun and brings people out.
So people come from all over for Halloween. People come all from all over for the possum drop. People come from all over for the 4th of July.
Yeah.
What else you got going on right here?
And then in April, first weekend or second weekend in April, we have the fair. We have an arts and crafts show. And the Lions Club has a 5K race that morning. So I think that's about it, all we have.
That covers major. That's four big things a year.
Yeah, four big things. Well, we had the Lottie Christmas Parade second week in December. That's a pretty good turnout.
Okay.
All the floats have to be some type of lights on it with a different theme. So
let me ask this.
We're pretty active.
Going back to kind of your time as a city manager, you've taken care of things. You've seen a lot of things. What's next for Tallapoosa? You got a lot of things going on. You've talked very well about your community and a good place to grow up, good place to live. But what's next as far as development or any of those types of things?
Well, we'd like to grow, but we don't want to grow too much,
right?
Because with that comes...
You like being a small town.
we like being a small town. We like being in touch with the people. We like the atmosphere. With growth comes issues, traffic, crime, more people wanting things. So we'd like to grow. We need some housing and we need some jobs and we need some retail. We need some of those things. But talking with the city clerk this morning, we all would like to have those, but we can go over to Oxford, Alabama, which is 40 miles away. We can get to jump on the folks. We can leave here at 5 and be over there at 4 and go eat before those people are able to get off their jobs. We have those things that we can go to within less than an hour, or we can go to Douglasville or to Rome or to Carrollton. But we need some housing and some jobs, some retail, and maybe some more individual-owned restaurants. Not so much the fast food or the brand names, but some more of the mom-and-pop restaurants and things like that. Restaurants and things like that. That's what I think we'd like to see. And we'd like for our children, when they graduate from high school, that they're able to find a job here and not have to leave and go to Atlanta to find a job. Of course, we know some of those are going to leave because they're just technical jobs. They're going to have to leave to go find those. They're not a lot here, but they are a few. And a lot of people working from home now. But I think those are the biggest things we need to work on.
everybody would say, because I hear that a lot about, yes, we want business here, but we'd prefer local-owned business. You know, yes, a chain might have some excitement about it because, you know, everyone's excited about a Chick-fil-A or a Starbucks or something like that. But for a small town, especially, really wanting people that are invested in the community and just do things differently, I think that sets us apart. I imagine you could probably tell a story or two about some local businesses that do things differently, kind of add to the community.
Yeah, I think there's just so many different reasons of why you want the local businesses rather than the others. These are the people that you meet and see. You go to church with them. You socialize with them. You're in different events with them, Lions Club. You're there. And for instance, our local downtown development chairman of our downtown development association, Tommy Allen, has a Thanksgiving festival. His store, he has a gift shop, and he opens it up on Thanksgiving. And I guess there'll be 1,000, 1,500 people there if the weather's good. People in buying gifts and socializing and talking and meet and greet, and he has a carriage, rides free. You have lunch with your family, or you're having dinner with your family that afternoon. It gives you a little break you can do to go and go up to Tommy's and spend a couple hours going through his shop and just looking and browsing and meeting other people. People may be coming back to the community for the weekend that you haven't seen in a year, 2 years, or whatever. And I think you find the charm, people friendly, giving. They want to get involved and they want to be recognized and do things together. I don't think you find that with the other folks. They want to collect their money and they're gone. We all use Walmart, but you know, at the close of the day, all that money is pretty much sent back to
somewhere else,
to Arkansas. So, but we certainly couldn't do without the Walmart today, but we also need the local merchants to be part of the community also.
There's certainly a healthy balance there, but I think the appreciation for that local-owned business is being realized now because, I guess, the pendulum swung the other way, and some of those businesses were lost in small towns, and once they're gone, they're not coming back.
I remember growing up and when we had a Weston out tow and Economy out tow and different stores owned by local folks going by, and you needed something, you could go by and they would, I need a bicycle for my nephew or something. And they'd say, well, how about this one? Yeah, well, I don't have any money. Well, you can come by tomorrow and pay me. You buy a bicycle. Well, you'll have to take it home and put it together or cooker or something and barbecue pit. So, well, you'll have to buy it at Walmart. You have to take it home, take it out of the box and put it together. But with Ray Hitchcock, he'd put it together for you and say, well, Shannon, run that by and drop it off for you and say, here's a bag of charcoal to go with it. So there's a more of a personal presentation there for you, and it makes you feel good, gives you a warm feeling about it.
Yeah. Well, Philip, or Flip, I should say, as we
Boss Hogg.
I was going to go with Flip instead of Boss Hogg. As we wrap up this episode talking about Tallapoosa, I wonder if you would speak directly to our small town podcast audience and tell them why they should consider paying a visit or maybe coming and finding a place to move to here in Tallapoosa, Georgia.
Well, it's a fun place. There's lots of things to do. The people are friendly. They're accommodating, charming. We have a lot of history here. We have two different historical societies and just old houses. And we have a big museum based on our culture. And there's a lot to do here if you want to. And you can have an old house or you can have a new home. So it's whatever your soul desires. It's here. It's accommodating. And if you want to Atlanta, you can be in Atlanta in 45 minutes. Or you can be in Birmingham an hour and 15 minutes, or Columbus in a couple of hours, and Chattanooga within an hour. So we're centrally located to a lot of things. You can go and visit and come back and just settle down and be peaceful and quiet and not feel the rush or the anxiety of having to do something or deal with the traffic and the noise and pollution and those things. So it's a great place to live and work.
Well, Philip Edson, thanks so much for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate you coming.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Philip Edson for talking with me. As always, I want to thank our season sponsors, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Douglas Coffee County Chamber of Commerce and Economic Development Authority, and of course, the Greater Harrelson Chamber of Commerce. Thank you all for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.